College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. Now here's your host, Kevin Nagandi.
Yo, it's Friday, and we're ready for Week 7. Plenty of games to talk about and pick and break down. Marcus Spears is going to join us to give us a vibe of a night game in Death Valley and that experience as an LSU Tiger. Can't wait to talk to him about the matchup against Florida as well. Pollock is ready to go as game day is at LSU. I'm pumped up for the weekend. How you feeling, David?
Oh, we got a good one, brother. We got a good one. This will be fun because we got multiple games that actually matter. You know, like undefeated going down, multiple games that shape races. I mean, I think the race for the best team in the country is on and could be decided this week, too. I mean, there's just a lot of things that are going to be fun to pay attention to, and it should be a good day starting to finish it.
That's interesting you said that that the race to number one could be decided this weekend. Are you looking at a specific game when you say that? Is that the matchup LSU-Florida? Is that Oklahoma-Texas? What do you think?
It's LSU-Florida for me. Listen, I'm a big what have you done, who have you beaten, and how did you look doing it? But there does come a point when you're looking at all this tape and you're watching all these teams and you're going, okay, there's not much difference between X and Y. So what have you proven on the field? The hardest things for me to do in college football is to go on the road and win. We've seen LSU do that at Texas. We've seen Florida win in the swamp versus a good Auburn team. If Florida backs it up and goes to LSU, who everybody thinks is a top five team in college football, no matter how you rank it, in that atmosphere at night, Florida's the number one team in the country. I don't care how they I don't care how they do. That'd be amazing.
It'd be a completely, to me, it would change the entire outlook as how we judge the SEC. And I'm complete agreement with you. If Florida pulls off the shocker there as 13-point underdogs. All right, we'll get to that game in a moment. Let's start, though, with the Friday night game tonight. Miami hosting Virginia. Miami's favored by 2 points. I wanted to get your thoughts about this game just because what we've seen from Miami, especially coming off the bye and that brutal game against Virginia Tech where they're 14-point favorites. They're down 28-0. They come back. They tie the game up, and then they lose on the final drive. How do you view this game? Who do you got?
It's first of all, I've learned from Bear, and I don't know how to gamble, and I don't do that. But I've learned when a line like this really stinks, there's a reason for it. And Miami being favored in this game probably shocks the mess out of everybody. But you look at Miami last week, and I'm sitting there watching the game, and Jaren Williams throws 7 passes, and 3 of them are to the other team. You know, that's not good. And Miami's offense has looked like a train wreck a lot of this season. Here's the bad news: their defense don't look great either. And Manny Diaz now has officially taken over more duties and more responsibilities with the defense. I don't see anything in Miami that I like. I mean, what do you see? What do you see, Kev, that you like, or what do you see that you're saying? I know X is going to, like, in the past 3 years, I knew Miami's defense was going to show up and play great. I knew that. Like, I know the offense might sputter and some, it might show up some weeks and not. What do you expect from I don't have any expectations from them that I know they can do against Virginia, who I think is a really, really good football team. I know the line is, it smells and Bear teaches you that, but I love Virginia. I love who they are. I know they'll show up and I know they'll play their game. And I don't see how Miami wins the game.
I think you nailed it. The line does stink, and it makes me just wonder, wow. I mean, does Vegas really feel this way? But I don't know the identity of Miami. And Manny Diaz was, you know, the architect of that defense the last couple years. And, you know, and Cozy Perry's going to get the start. They have not gotten better as the season has progressed. In fact, you know, I watch these games in the studio on Saturdays with, you know, Jonathan Velma, who's a passionate U guy, and he is into these games. And the one thing that has been brought up is they have fallen flat coming off byes. I mean, you come off that heartbreaking loss to Florida, you fall flat on your face against North Carolina, and then you have this game where you're coming off a bye after beating Central Michigan, you fall flat on your face right at the moment at home against Virginia Tech. So I don't know who Miami is right now, and I'm with you. I like Virginia, so I think we're on the same page to start off here. We're both going with the Cavaliers to start on Friday night. The other game on Friday night is the mess in the Pac-12. And hang your hat on Oregon now. They're 21-point favorites, and they're taking on Colorado. How do you view Justin Herbert? How do you view this Ducks team facing a Buffalo team that can do some things, and they're a different team at home, but they're going to be on the road tomorrow night?
Well, I first of all, Colorado, people don't talk about them a lot, and I understand why, but their offensive play calling, and every time I turn on the tape and watch them, I'm impressed. I really like Jay Johnson. Like he does a really good job scheming offense and making plays. So I know Oregon's defense has been really good. I expect Colorado to score some points. Now, I don't think Colorado athletically has the dudes that can keep up with Oregon. And Justin Herbert, this is more his type of a game. Like, he's not going to have to make a bunch of tight window throws, and they're going to be able to do a lot more offensively. I think we're going to have a shootout. I think we're going to have a high-scoring game. I think it'll be an entertaining game. It'll be more of a Cal-Oregon game or a Cal-Washington game or a Washington-Stanford game. This will be more Pac-12-esque, and it'll be more fun, but Oregon will win the game.
I mentioned tomorrow night. This game is, of course, a Friday night, so we'll see how this plays out. Pac-12 after dark. They always give us drama. I'd be careful if I was the Ducks. I'm with you. I picked the Ducks as well. All right, let's go to one of the marquee matchups, and that is Oklahoma-Texas Cotton Bowl. And we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday.
I don't know who I got.
What's giving you pause here on making a pick? Like, what do you need to know a little bit more about?
First of all, I think Sam Ellinger and Jalen Hurts are way more alike than Kyler Murray and Sam Ellinger, or Baker Mayfield and Sam Ellinger. I think they're very similar quarterbacks. Like, I think they both run the ball incredibly well, and that might be their biggest strength. They both throw the ball effectively, but I don't think they're, you know, surgical by any stretch of the imagination. And I think, you know, this rivalry last year, it was a lopsided game, and then all of a sudden Kyler Murray's wheels break loose, and I think it was like 48-45 or something stupid like that. Both defenses have struggled, and I don't trust either defense, and that's what I'm getting. So I'm leaning right now, and I'll let you take your crack at it first, but because whoever you pick, I'll pick the opposite in a heartbeat. I know I'll be right. I'm leaning. Last year I picked Texas in the regular season game. I might be leaning Texas again. I don't know why, but I might be.
All right, this is going to be the difference then. I'm going Oklahoma, and the reason why I'm going Oklahoma is twofold. I think injuries have really hurt Texas. Texas does not have that playmaker in the backfield who has been healthy. They do not break off big plays with the running game, and that really hurts Ellinger. And when you have a team like Oklahoma on the other side that can match with you point for point, and also this will be the first time we get to understand where Oklahoma's defense is a little bit. I'm leading Oklahoma. I mean, the line is 10 points, but 10 and a half points, depending on what you see. I wouldn't say Oklahoma covers that, but I like Oklahoma in a close game.
And I tell you what, like, all the talk about wide receivers in the country, and Duvernay doesn't really get his props.
You're right.
He's been unbelievable this season. You talk about before the catch, after the catch. You know, I think he's leading the nation in receiving. Done a heck of a job for Texas, and they got weapons. Here's what. When I watch Oklahoma and their secondary, and I watched them play the football in the air a year ago, I haven't seen it this year as much, but I'll tell you this, the ball skills of those guys in the secondary is really bad. And I'll give you Oklahoma, and the reason I'll lean Oklahoma, because I think Oklahoma's front, their defensive line, I think they got some dudes that can – maybe get a few stops, maybe make things a little bit more difficult, and maybe create a turnover or two. And last week, Texas defense created several. But I don't know, man. I just keep going back and forth in this game, and I feel like Texas has a real shot. But I'll go Oklahoma if I got to make a pick, and I have to, so I'll go Oklahoma.
Wait a second. You just told us that you would take the opposite of me. So, and I just picked Oklahoma.
I know. I know, but I'm killing you, so it really doesn't matter, I guess.
Oh, God.
I mean, you're probably going to pick Iowa over Penn State again like you did last week. And I'm sure you'll pick Florida over LSU, and just no, we're good. We'll have enough.
No, I actually was with you. I should have picked Florida last week. I picked Auburn, and that didn't play well in my house. Dealing with a Gator wife. She's not going to like my pick at the end of this podcast as well. We'll be back in a minute with much more from Pollock, but first a word from Allstate.
Because mayhem on Saturdays in the fall is inevitable. Mayhem happens on the field, off the field, and in the polls. Mayhem lives on the wind, in the rain, on the foot of an errant kick, and during a trap game. You'll find mayhem in the parking lot, during tailgates, charcoal that's not totally out, an errant football through a window, a flat tire, a lost side view mirror, etc. You get the point. Allstate protects you from mayhem in the parking lot and outside it, at home and away. You can't stop mayhem from happening, but you can get better protected from it with Allstate. The potential for mayhem during the playoff race is rampant. Underdogs, trap games, unexpected weather, etc., etc., etc. Get better protected from mayhem with Allstate. Contact your local Allstate agent today. Now back to the show.
All right, our next game. As so far we are in line with each other, and this may separate us. Memphis versus Temple. And Memphis coming in undefeated. Temple with one loss on the season so far. Who you got?
I'm going Temple.
Oh, what? Wait a second. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I'm going Temple. Why are you going Memphis?
No, dude, you're talking to an owl right here.
Okay, I'll go Memphis. I tell you what, no, I like. First of all, Temple plays better, way better at home than they do on the road. I mean, they seem to have that consistently, and I think they'll have the home crowd. And hey, have you seen Temple's D tackle inside? Have you seen that little sucker?
There's nothing little about that entire defensive front. Like,
by the way,
they're outstanding.
Yeah, that dude has 5 sacks already, I think, on the year.
And the majority, like, they were in that backfield against Maryland the entire time. And you make a great point. They're a completely different team at home. The one thing that's going to concern me, you know, being an Owl alum and following the team is Gainwell in the backfield for Memphis. I think he's a fantastic running back. And Russo has the arm talent and he has the body of an NFL quarterback. He just falls in love too much with his arm. So one thing that Temple has to do is they've got to control the football the entire game. And that is, you know, you're handing the ball off to Davis in the backfield and Ramon Davis, he's a freshman. He's really talented. They got to be consistent in running the ball, and that keeps your defense fresh because I think Memphis can throw it around with Brady White as well.
Yeah, okay. So you got Temple because I didn't know you were an Owl, by the way. Congratulations.
How do you not know that?
I don't know a lot of things, bro. I've been hitting the head a lot, okay? Besides that, then, okay, I'll make my official pick. My official pick is Memphis. I'll go with Brady White. I'll go with you know, he's one of the best in the country pushing the ball down the field. I'll take Gainwell at the running back spot. So you convinced me. You sold me 100%.
I really did.
Owls was great, and you sold the heck out of me. So I'll definitely take Memphis.
I played the other side of this situation, of this conversation, and it backfired, but at least it's going to separate us because let me tell you, you shocked the heck out of me for you to pick them in the beginning. I was not expecting that, and that's what you do every week. You shock me all the time. So
better and different.
Yeah, we'll take it. All right, that's going to be our separation game. All right, let's go to Alabama A&M as we try to figure out where this offense is with A&M so far under Jimbo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any surprise here. We're taking Alabama. And I tell you what, man, I still want to see Alabama run the football some more. And I still want to see them. And here's one thing that needs to be pointed out. Najee Harris is a very physical back, and he's a great back. When he goes to the right spots, Najee Harris does not see holes like he should and like Alabama backs in the past have. Being physically gifted is not his problem. Being strong is not his problem. It's seeing holes and understanding what's coming open, and that's an issue, but just keep paying attention to Alabama's interior of their line, guard, center, guard. I think it's their weak spot in their offensive line. I like both of their tackles. But if they're going to lose down the stretch, I don't think they're going to have any right way to lose to A&M. Alabama's going to have to shore up the inside of that offensive line.
What else do you want to see from Tua? Have you seen enough from Tua? Like, for a guy who has 23 touchdowns and no picks and is the Heisman favorite, it is a completely different vibe from the Tua train that we saw last year. I can't even describe it as I'm stumbling here because he seems so under the radar this year. It's like, yeah, that's Tua. And last year it was like, oh my God, have you seen Tua? But this year he may be even better. How do you make Tua's progress in this offense?
Well, it's less flash than it was a year ago. Last year we saw the flash and the scrambling around and extending plays a lot of times and making great plays. That dude is on schedule in the offense, understanding where he's going with football, not trying to scramble around and doing too much. Like you can tell he's got a real thought process. I think he has an even better understanding of defenses and what they're trying to do to him because you can tell, like, he sees it quickly and gets rid of it. I think last year he had a tendency to maybe hold the ball a little bit longer, and he was okay with, you know, taking a hit. But this year you can tell he knows exactly what his answers are. He knows what the defense is. So last year was phenomenal season, and he was really, really good. But let's be honest, too. We're not going to judge Tua until there's a really good competitive game. I mean, we saw last year his biggest struggles were, you know, against teams with good defenses. And listen, most quarterbacks do struggle, but you saw against LSU, he didn't play his best game. You saw Georgia, if Hurts doesn't come in, they don't win the game with Tua because he was banged up. And then you obviously saw the championship game with Clemson where he was average at best. So I think I've seen more from him knowing the quarterback spot.
I'm still trying to recover from our previous game on how much knowledge you have about Temple and how you could just out of nowhere call out Ifeanyi Maijay and his production on the defensive front. So, like, listen, Pollock, you've impressed me that you know something about the Owls. Like, while you were talking about Tua, I was just sitting there. I was like, this guy, like, I try to surprise him a little bit about the Temple Memphis because I don't go over picks with him. I bring up these games and I surprise Pollock. And for you to be fully aware of Ifeanyi Maijay shows that you pour through a ton of film throughout the week. Credit to you on that.
Or it shows that I have problems. It shows that I need more hobbies because I don't have anything else to do. Like during the day, and I go work out, and I just watch tape over and over and over again. So I probably should get a life of some other capacity. But right now, this is my life. It's football season. So,
well, we welcome that. We welcome those problems on this type of podcast. So that's a good thing. So
yeah,
we can highlight that. All right. So we're lockstep there. We both picked Bama, Clemson, FSU, and you know, Clemson's a 20-point favorite. I really want to hear your thoughts about what your expectations are in a game like this from Clemson, considering they got that scare against Carolina. It seems like every year they get a scare where they're a favorite, a big favorite against the team, and then it presses the reset button where they had the bye week here. What do you need to see from Clemson in this game, especially from that offense?
I just want to see a commitment to the run game. I mean, that's all Clemson has to do. I don't think, you know, Travis Etienne, I love the way he runs the football. By the way, he's got that explosiveness. But when you watch him run downhill, one thing that I really like about him that differentiates him between a lot of backs on tape, he runs downhill really fast, and he makes one quick cut when he runs in the inside, and he's getting 5 yards. He's getting 6 yards. He's getting 7 yards. He's not trying to bounce things up the middle. Now, when he goes to the outside, he goes to the outside, and most of those design runs to the outside are very successful for them. But he runs really physical and downhill. Four carries from running backs in the second half against North Carolina. Just completely abandoned it. And Trevor Lawrence, I'd like to see Trevor Lawrence be more efficient. The back shoulder and the deep ball, good Lord, it's a thing of beauty. How about seeing the other stuff and making the easy throws and taking what the defense gives you? I think, you know, I expect Florida Clemson to play good. I expect Clemson's defense to give up some big plays against Florida State. Florida State's had success against a lot of people. Now, their offensive line is not going to find a way to block those monsters up front like Xavier Thomas and those guys. But I expect to see Clemson, like you said, I expect to see him hit the reset button and start – now that they've got some doubt, Kevin, I think it's a good thing. Dabo can use that in the locker room. And instead of Trevor Lawrence hearing how he'd have been the number one pick in the draft from idiots like me if he came out last year, you know, now look, sophomore slump. What's wrong with Trevor? What's wrong with Clemson? What's wrong with this offense? Now they hear that as opposed to, oh, my God, your national champions are so great. I think it's a good spot for Clemson to be in.
Yeah, they need a chip on their shoulder. We've seen other teams. I mean, when you look at the top five, every team in that top five outside of Clemson has a chip on their shoulder. And we'll see how Dabo can kind of use that as motivation for this team the rest of the way. All right, we're both picking Clemson. Michigan State, Wisconsin.
Ooh, who you got?
I got Wisconsin because I don't know. Michigan State. Listen, when you look at Wisconsin, one of the highlights of this team is their defense. You're telling me Michigan State's going to score like 10 points against this defense? I would be shocked if their offense can put up some points and make this a game against Wisconsin's defense, because the Wisconsin's defense
You're saying beat down. You're saying smack down.
Well, I'm not sure if it could be a smackdown with Wisconsin's offense. They're not really a passing attack. They're going to just run, and run some more. So, I still think it could be a beatdown in the sense, a Big Ten beatdown where they win something like 24-3 and literally, you know, Michigan State's offense cannot generate anything. And that feels like a beatdown Big Ten style, right? That's kind of like 48-0 in other conferences, the way defenses play out, especially with Wisconsin. Wisconsin will probably score. I think their defense will probably score a touchdown in this game. The way they have been attacking the ball and capitalizing off of turnovers, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm with you. A big part of me wants to pick Michigan State, but here's what I'll say about Michigan State. First of all, D'Antonio and Michigan State after a loss is really good. They're always good in this spot, especially after a big loss and they've been embarrassed. They always come back and they always fight. They got that DNA in them. I tell you what, man, I was impressed watching the Workies tape versus Ohio State. You know, they got turf stomped. He is way improved from what he was a year ago. I'm talking about light years improved. I think he can make plays in the passing game. And I saw him make a couple big time throws and I was like, holy cow, between linebackers and safeties and, you know, he can scramble around. He's got enough athleticism. Darryl Stewart, how about you stop dropping the ball, bro? Like, you're not helping him out. That would be very useful. You're really good with the ball in your hands. You got to catch it first before you start being really good. I think I'm going to lean Wisconsin and Jonathan Taylor. I don't trust Wisconsin's passing game at all. Not at all. What I saw from Cohn early in the season when he's played decent teams that have a little bit of a pulse, that's gone. Even the Michigan game, the numbers aren't bad. He wasn't asked to do much. When he was asked to do it, I didn't love what I saw. Northwestern, hated what I saw. I don't think if they take Jonathan Taylor away, which is a tough thing to do because he's one of the best there is in college football, I don't think Jack Cohn is a guy that's going to beat you. I think it's going to be a really, really close competitive game. But Zach Bond and Wisconsin's defense, I'll lean towards them. Maybe a field goal game.
Field goal game. Oh, okay. That could be the difference here in our conversation. All right. So you got Wisconsin. I got Wisconsin. I've got Wisconsin by double digits. You got them by a field goal. We'll see how that plays out. Double digits. I think you're going to see a lot of scoring in this game. It depends on how you view it because it looks like Jeff Duffy is comfortable as the Texas Tech quarterback right now. But I love what Matt Rule's done the last couple years and adding toughness to a team in the Big 12. So Texas Tech versus undefeated Baylor, who you got?
How great is Matt Rule done? I mean, phenomenal job. Like you can't stop praising him enough. And just the toughness and the taking care of the football and just – what they represent and who they are. It's a lot of fun to watch Baylor. And I'll take Baylor. Baylor's a known quantity. I know exactly what I'm going to get. Listen, Texas Tech, a big high a week ago, beating Oklahoma State. And I'm sure they're excited and happy. It was a big win, but I'll take the steadiness of Charlie Brewer and Baylor and not turning the football, not beating themselves. Again, we talked about that, you know, we talked about that just recently. We talked about not beating yourself and being that kind of team that I can depend on and be steady. And Miami's not that. I think Baylor is. And I trust Baylor to show up. I trust who they are and what they are. And I trust Matt Rule and that DNA. I think Baylor wins.
I'm with you. And, you know, I go way back with Matt. And I think
obviously,
eventually down the road. Yeah, and eventually I think down the road he's going to be in the NFL. I think his approach to, hey, you know what? Everybody in this conference can score. I'm going to find a way to find guys to slow down the offenses and make it tough each and every week. So I'm with you on Baylor. I like what Matt Rhule's done. It's pretty incredible. All right, let's go. USC, Notre Dame. Slovis is going to get the start for the Trojans. The one issue that the Trojans have, they do not play well on the road, and they got to deal with Ian Book, who's been quietly under the radar, an under-the-radar quarterback at Notre Dame, which is hard to believe. But I think Book has been fantastic this season. I take the Irish. Who you got in this one?
I'll take the Irish too. Now I'm very interested to watch Vaughns and Pippen and Amon-Ra St. Brown and the receiving core and if Notre Dame problems, because they've given everybody problems. I mean, USC has weapons and have scored a lot of points, but I trust the Irish too, man. I trust Ian Book. And by the way, how about their D versus Virginia? I mean, mm-hmm. You talk about harassing the quarterback and rushing the passer, and It was a thing of beauty, man. It was fun to watch, especially in a letdown situation where they just came off the Georgia game and you could have seen something, seen a little letdown against the Virginia team. I think is really, really good. So I trust Notre Dame more, but I am interested to watch Pittman and Vaughns and those guys and those receivers against Notre Dame's secondary, because they've done a good job limiting big plays, and that's all USC is about, is big plays.
Back to that Virginia game, what impressed me the most about the Irish, and you're bringing up that defense, is the adjustments that they made coming out in the second half. Because, I mean, Perkins was really playing well, and Virginia looked really good on the road in that environment that first half. And in the second half, it was like, no more. We are going to dictate the flow of this game, and I thought the Irish were really good in that game in that second half, making the adjustments.
Well, Perkins is still picking himself up off the ground because he got absolutely shambled the whole second half.
He's definitely not going to face a tough defense like the Irish when he faces Miami this coming weekend on the road. All right, Penn State, Iowa, and the cool thing about this is that 2 years ago, that was a phenomenal environment. Kinnick was rocking. It's going to be the same type of feel. The game's on primetime, ABC, 7:30 Saturday night. I like the Nittany Lions a lot. I think that you can make a strong case that they're the second best team in the Big Ten. They could go head-to-head with Wisconsin. The one difference is that I think that Penn State can score more points than Wisconsin. So I'm picking the Nittany Lions. Who you got in this one?
Oh, you're jumping off the Iowa bandwagon for soon.
Oh,
damn,
stop.
It. Come on,
stop,
man.
It.
You've been riding Iowa State all year, bro.
Yeah, no, I rode Iowa once, and that was last week because they were playing Michigan. Not
gonna... Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, that's a shame. I was cheering for you on your picks, though. I was cheering hard
yeah,
for
you. Yeah, you were, sure.
I'm with you, man. You know how I feel, and everybody who's listening to this podcast know how I feel about Penn State and their defense. And not to mention, you know, Clifford's now leading the Big Ten in passing, and KJ Hamler is getting down with it from the slot. That dude is as dynamic as anybody in college football with the ball in his hand. I mean, he is an absolute freaky show. It's fun to watch him when he touches the ball. I don't think there's any answer for that. I know this, though. Iowa will muck it up, and, you know, as long as they don't turn the football over like they did last week, they'll muck it up and make it messy, and they'll play you physical and they'll play you tough. I think Penn State's defense, they're not going to give up over 13 in their offense with Hamler and Journey and those guys, Brown. They can make big plays enough to score points and to win the game.
All right, so we're lockstep on that too. So our only difference is Memphis Temple, and I actually convinced you to go to Memphis because, you know, you're just a hater on my Temple Owls. That's just how quickly.
Oh, you love the Owls so much. I could tell, because this is a go anyway kind of game. You know, you could go
yes.
either direction, I feel like.
Totally.
And not be wrong. But when you showed your love for them, I knew the right side was Memphis. Like, I just, that cemented the fact that I was picking Memphis.
I'm going to block you on Saturdays if I get any texts in the afternoon. All right, Florida LSU, our final game and this matchup. LSU was a 13-point favorite. That seems pretty steep here, but it just gives you an idea of what they think of LSU's offense and honestly what they think of Florida's offense in that environment. So who do you got in this one?
Well, I tell you what, it's not fortuitous for Florida to play Auburn last week and to have that physical of a game and that big emotional game to now come to Death Valley, the toughest atmosphere. I played there as a sophomore. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it is unbelievable. Like I'm on the way to the game. You know, the fans are shaking the bus. And saying wonderful things to you. And I mean, we got mooned on the way to the game. Like, and then you get there hours before and you get into the stadium and you go to walk on the field. And we did this not even in our shoulder pads yet, not for warm-ups, but you go to walk on the field and feel the grass. And the whole student section is packed. And you just, and it's just, it's chanting awesome things at you that it's just unlike any atmosphere that I've ever been to. It's crazy. When you walk out of the locker room, by the way, Mike the Tiger's sitting right there to scare the bejesus out of you. So it's just it's an unreal, surreal atmosphere. It'll be as loud as any place in college football. That doesn't equal success. When you look at Florida last week, they did a great job manufacturing a couple of their touchdowns by getting good matchups. There's a lot less matchups to like when you start looking at Stingley Jr. and the secondary for LSU and Florida versus them. So I think LSU is going to carry the day, but I do think Joe Burrow will have some moments where he struggles, which will be fun to see him against an elite defense and see if he can carve up with the numbers he's been doing. I think he'll have a few moments where he struggles and looks more human and more mortal. And then how they respond to that will be fun to watch, but I'll take
it. I'm with you too. He's going to be running around a lot and I want to see how he responds. And again, you're talking about a guy that's completed 78% of his passes. And if he can even get into like the 70s in a game like this, my goodness, it opens the door to so many other things when you talk about playing on Sunday, considering that line, considering that secondary. I can't wait. I can't wait for the matchups. I'm with you. So I'm picking LSU as well. So we'll see how this plays out. You've had some luck, the last couple weeks and
go Tigers.
I don't want to hear from you all day Saturday afternoon.
Memphis.
Have some fun. Get some good Cajun food for me, at least. Are you a Cajun guy? Do you like the Cajun food there?
Bro, if you haven't learned about me yet, I don't eat anything. So I am not a food guy. Give me a salad, give me some lean stuff, and nothing that's unhealthy. And I'm no sweets, no garbage.
So that's right. I remember we talked about this back in January, and I was blown away that you don't eat anything that's bad for the body, huh? Like anything that has that taste.
I eat to survive. I don't eat for taste. Taste is overrated. I eat to fuel my body. That's all I need to do.
You're a minimalist in when it comes to food. Wow. I mean, that means no salt, no spices, no butter, no sweets across the board.
All that stuff's overrated. I mean, what's the point in putting it on your food?
Oh my goodness, man. Pollock.
I'm sure you're going to tell me I'm missing out on something in life, but I really don't feel that way.
No. I'm not going to tell you that. That just means there's more for me. So I will take advantage of that situation. So
you got
listen,
it, bro. You got it all.
That's your decision. And if you're good with it, I appreciate that you can stick with it. So, I will then, make sure to eat the sweets and the salty stuff and the Cajun stuff for you. All right. Listen, have fun there. Looking forward to Saturday. And I know you're going to enjoy the environment.
All right, brother. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
We'll be joined by Marcus Spears in just a moment. But first, a message from Dr. Pepper. Make sure to tune in to my new favorite TV show, Fansville, presented by Dr. Pepper, returning every Saturday throughout the college football season during the commercials. Fansville is the only show that stars Dr. Pepper, puts the spotlight on fans, and perfectly captures the emotional roller coaster that is the college football season. Critics are saying it's good. Fantastic. Is anyone else thirsty? and literally the best thing since Diet Dr. Pepper and Dr. Pepper Cherry. In Fansville, Dr. Pepper delivers a tour de force performance alongside legendary college football co-stars Brian the Boz Bosworth and Eddie George. Experience the pain, the passion, and the deliciousness of college football fandom this fall on Fansville, presented by Dr. Pepper. So pull over, veer right, slant left, do what you gotta do to get to your local store and pick up some refreshing ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. And hey, while you're at it, don't be afraid to go for two. Well, he played at LSU from 2001 to 2004. He was a consensus All-American, a BCS champ. He was a superstar defensive end for the Tigers. Marcus Spears joining us here on the College Football Podcast. Marcus, first off, it's great to have you on board here because you're my guy. How are you feeling about a night game with Florida coming to town this weekend?
Well, first of all, I'm so glad it's at night, and thanks for having me, Kate. The great thing about playing at home in the SEC is huge, but to have it in Death Valley on Saturday, I think Death Valley now, we can finally get past the point of people not understanding it's synonymous. When the sun sets on the western sky is the best time to play college football in Baton Rouge. So I'm excited that this game is at night because usually people don't get out of there alive, man.
Well, yeah, give me an idea. What's it like as a player on the field that environment?
Kale, first of all, I'm going to be a total homer in this interview. I just wanted
Please.
To let you know that.
There's a reason why I have you on.
Outside of when you asked me to, like, analyze or break something down, I'm going to be a total homer.
All right, so listen, I want this flavor. I want you to be a homer. I want you to be all in. There's a reason why we got you on this podcast, because only you could share that experience. I could call Booger if I wanted to, but Booger's too big for us on Mr. Monday Night. You're my guy here in this situation. Give me a feel of what it's like to be on the field in that environment, and the place is going nuts, and you're a top five team, and you got the opponent on the other side that's part of the SEC, and you're playing in prime time.
Well, first of all, it is the greatest venue for college football on Saturday night, all right? And I don't think anybody would disagree with that, because other players say it. Players from the other team say it. When they walk out, Mike the Tiger is out over there snapping at you. You walk in the stadium and all the noise is directed towards the field. I don't know. You just know. It's some events that you're able to attend where you just know that I'm at one of the best places to do this at. Whatever that is, whatever that may be. That may be Wimbledon for people. That may be the U.S. Open, the NBA Finals. That may be a game in Lambeau. Just the great venues. For college football, LSU is that place on Saturday night, where you get the rawest, realest experience of playing college football, what it means for passion, pageantry, people going crazy, people out of their mind. And when you get a top 10 matchup in Baton Rouge, it just elevates the level of everything. So I think that's a big part of the lore of it. Beyond all of them Cajuns in the stand that's ready to gut whoever coming in there.
So Marcus, is there a moment that you look back on playing a night game and you just laugh and smile that you could take us there and give us that feel?
Oh, man, I'll never forget. It's probably the greatest game I've ever been a part of. People going to say, hey, man, you won the national championship. But that wasn't home. Obviously, you have those ones that stand out. And for me, it was when Auburn came in with Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown at running back. They were really good football team. We were positioning ourselves for first place in the SEC West, and they were just rolling, man. These dudes was racking up. I think they, if not the best duo to ever be in the top five, because there's arguments mm-hmm. for a lot of other people. But
yep,
we held them to like 60 total yards rushing. And it was just it was one of those games. And I know if you play the game, it's everything went right. Everything went right. Like the night was perfect. The weather was great. The crowd was probably even more ecstatic than we thought they would be, because we were having a really good season. up until that point, but it just it was the perfect combination of noise, us performing at the highest level, and shutting down a run game that nobody else could have shut down. And then on the other side, offense putting up points. It was a big play game. It was interceptions, sacks, forced fumbles. So for me, that was the greatest game I've ever been a part of when I was at LSU, because not only, I mean, obviously we won, but we were dominant, and everything just was perfect. It was a Saturday, about 70 degrees. Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown probably had just rushed for 400 yards the game previous. And we took on this, like, I don't know, you just play out of your body. And that's the thing, man. That's the thing that people will tell you, or former players will tell you about LSU, is that when you go into that stadium at night, and I think this is the one fact that everybody misses when they talk about Death Valley on Saturday night. When you go into that stadium at night and you run out of that tunnel and hit that wind bar, and before you hit that field, when you hear that crowd, when those doors open, it's an out-of-body experience. Like you are hyped beyond levels you thought you could get hyped, because all of that energy just rushes you. It rushes your brain, it rushes your heart, and you like, I'm finna go out here and just I'm floating. And it's hard for opponents to match that type of intensity when you come out at night. And it's just that's just a part of what that stadium does and what the people in that stadium do.
Have you ever been able to match that feeling on any other level when you talk about going to the NFL and playing for the Cowboys in that environment? Have you ever been able to touch that?
Oh, man, no. No, Kev. And the thing is, it is because it's so euphoric, and it's so, like, just you hoping you get it again, that feeling. And I played in a few playoff games when I was in Dallas. And they were hyped. Don't get me wrong. We were excited. It was, you know, we played the Eagles one year back to back. I know you don't like to hear that, and blanked them zeros. But it's never been matched. And I think if you talk to a lot of guys, and it may not be the consensus, but it is probably a large majority. Most guys go back to their college days as the best football they played from the standpoint of being excited and hyped and ready to go. I just think Death Valley does that quadruple what everybody else does. So, nah, that intensity was never matched, man.
We'll be back in a minute with much more from Marcus Spears. But first, a message from Keeps. I want to tell you about Keeps. Why Keeps? 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. The good news? With today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get medication delivered to your home. No more waiting rooms, no more pharmacy checkout lines. Get doctor attention and discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Prevention is key. Keeps treatment really works. They're up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save, so act fast. Many men even experience hair regrowth with Keeps treatments. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month, plus for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/campus to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/campus. That one thing you brought up about those LSU days early on when you played is that you guys scored points, and that's what we're seeing right now with this team and Joe Burrow. Like, how do you feel about where this team is at offensively with that quarterback, and how it's a little bit different from what we've seen in the last decade from LSU?
Yeah, they're in a great place, man. And the reason being is because they have it's innovation, right? It's and not necessarily innovation that they're doing anything new as far as spread and RPO, but it's innovation for LSU. is something that teams are not used to them being in. And now they are really highlighting the talent that they've always had on the edges. Can you imagine if Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham would have been in this offense?
No.
Exactly. And Leonard Fournette and some of the guys that have come through there, if they would have had this opportunity to play in this offense so wide open with a guy spreading the ball around. And Joe Burrow has a lot to do with it. But Steve Ensminger had to adjust. He had to rearrange his things and let Joe Brady in as passing game coordinator and let him implement it, coming from obviously with Sean Payton in New Orleans. But it's exciting for me to see. Now, as an analyst, it's a double-edged sword because we're not playing great defense, right? Mm-hmm. So you have the other side of that where all the rest of the team has to adjust to the fact that they are running this up-tempo, scoring a tremendous amount of points a game, and defense is struggling because of that. And usually you tend to see that with defenses. But the excitement of talking to guys that played there, some of my former teammates, LSU fans in general, to see LSU put 60 points on the board, we didn't care who it was against. It could have been against a middle school team. Mm-hmm. But just to see them put 60 points on the board, see them consistently score and keep their foot on the pedal, and Joe Burrow looks so comfortable and has a grasp of what they're doing offensively. These receivers are coming to the fold, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Sullivan, like, all of these things are starting to matriculate because they upgraded an offensive game. And it's exciting. I know it's exciting for college football because college football fans love to see a lot of points. Now, me, on the other hand, I would prefer some defense be played at some point during the season. Mm-hmm. So, but it's exciting, Kay. It is a part of the evolution of what we see in college football. And sometimes – it goes in cycles. Like, if you think back to last year when, and I'm going to go kind of off the reservation here, when you look back to last year and how the New England Patriots attacked everybody in the playoffs, they went back to the run game. It was Sony Michel. It was Rob Gronkowski. It was lining up in big personnel and running the football. So just to have that ability to make that adjustment, LSU had never shown this facet of their game where they can just come out, throw the ball 40 times a game, completion, score touchdowns, move the rock up and down the field. If they got in a shootout, they could sustain and be in a shootout with somebody, and that's what everybody's believing. And this is a great test for them this weekend against Florida to see if this offense can really do this against a really good defense.
Especially that secondary and that front line has been fantastic for the Gators. The question is, can the Gators score points in that environment? So they're 13-point favorites. That seems a little bit high. What's this game going to come down mm-hmm. to in your mind?
For me, I'm a break down each phase. For me, mm-hmm. if LSU can establish some semblance of a run game and not become multidimensional, because like you mentioned, they have a really good secondary. It's not a facade. Florida is good on the back end. C.J. Henderson is one of the best players in college football playing corner. Sean Davis is emerging as one of the safeties that Todd Grantham likes to use in that rover position. We know about the guys up front, Jonathan Grenard and Zuniga, David Reese in the middle. And I always like in good defenses to who's their guy on every level. And they have a guy on every level that's going to be a pro. Up front, Grenard and Zuniga, in the middle, David Reese and C.J. Henderson on the back end. So they play. And then you couple that with how Todd Grantham attacks you. His zone pressure is playing dual coverages on one any given play. The ability to blitz and play man-to-man. This will be the best challenge for LSU because when you have this type of offense explosive like LSU has and you tossing the ball around so much, are you going to turn it over or are you going to make those plays and those guys going to be able to win those 50-50 balls and one-on-ones? So if it goes that way, LSU will have an opportunity to be a 13-point favorite. On the other hand, if they're giving up sacks and Florida is creating pressure and Joe Burrow can't convert, like can't get 2-3 to 5 yards on first down and they always in third and long yardage situations, that plays directly into the hands of what Todd Grantham wants to do defensively. And then to the other side of that, when Dan Mullen is calling offensive plays he's obviously been watching everything everybody else has been watching and saying to himself, I need to control this ball as much as possible because they aren't as explosive offensively. But what Dan does a great job at is controlling tempo, making the games kind of ugly and sloppy, and Kyle Trask is really playing well. I mean, he's not obviously throwing for 300-400 yards a game, but that was a really good defense against Auburn that he was able to make some plays against. So it'll be interesting to see how they attack LSU's offense from their offensive standpoint and how they want to try to control the game and possess the ball for an extended period of time. So it'll be interesting. And then LSU's defense, obviously, you know, they play Utah State and they got some things corrected, but now the talent level raises up with Tyree Cleveland over there. And obviously we saw P. Ryan break off a long game and this big tight end that's emerging at Florida
Pitts,
as well.
Yeah,
so
he's great.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things, man, where this matchup is always tricky because usually it falls in line with whoever style of play takes precedence, that's who wins the game. And you have polar opposite this year as opposed to many other years. You got LSU that's a fast up-tempo. They want to score offensively. And you got Florida that kind of wants to slow everything down, as weird as that sounds, and just play really great offensive football, manage the game, put the ball in the running back's hands, let Kyle Trask make some decisions midfield, use their tight end. And then defensively, you got a staple that usually is one for LSU that has struggled a bit, and Florida is playing great on defense like they usually have. So whoever, man, I'm excited, bro. Like, I don't know what else to say. I done broke the whole game down.
and I love the breakdown. Are you going to be there? Is SEC traveling there? Are you guys going to be there?
Nah, Kev. We are in Athens, man. We cannot go where game day goes unless the powers that be say is cool.
Gotcha.
So
that's understandable.
We are. You don't want to compete against your own people. So we'll be in Athens for Georgia, South Carolina, and I'm done at noon. But I'm not. I'm gonna come home and watch it.
Okay. All right. And when you're watching it, are you a superstitious guy or how are we handling that? What are we doing?
Oh yeah, man. I give me a nice beverage, a nice cocktail. My wife usually puts together a nice little dinner, and I sit in my office, in my chair that I usually play Fortnite in, and watch it on the big screen, and I cannot be disturbed. I will send tweets out there. I will talk about the game, but I'm not answering a lot of questions during the game. And my boys know, like, if you come over, we're going to be hype, but we're not really going to talk to each other a lot.
I appreciate that because I cannot watch any football game with the Eagles with anybody else. Like, kids come in, we talk a little bit, but, you know, get out. We're good. And same thing.
It's too personal.
Yeah, it's way too personal. I'm like that in the studio when we're watching Temple, and I got to hear Vilma in my ear talk trash, even though he represents the U, and right now he can't talk a lot of junk with me. Hey, Marcus, man.
Jay Veal has got real quiet, man.
All that swagger at the beginning of the season, man. And he lost the big bet to Booger at the start of the season. He's already got to pay that off on who would have a better season, Miami or LSU, when he's already thrown in the towel. So, Marcus, appreciate it, bro. And thanks for joining us, and good luck to your Tigers this weekend.
Kev, thank you, man. I appreciate you having me, bro, anytime.
Appreciate Pollock and Marcus for joining us to give us that vibe at LSU. Going to be a great Saturday. Also want to thank our sponsors, Allstate, Dr. Pepper, and Keeps. Want to remind our loyal listeners, you can submit questions that Herbie will answer on the next podcast. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your questions, and the best questions will make the air. Big thanks to our producer, Taylor Schwenk, on the other side of the board. If you enjoyed this podcast and want more, all you have to do is subscribe to the College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. And, of course, remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. It's going to be a great one. We'll see you on Monday.